Democratic candidate for governor Daniel Biss says Governor Rauner is trying to turn the dispute over school funding into another Chicago versus downstate fight. The state senator from Evanston was in Bloomington Normal yesterday, where he picked up Mayor Terry Renner's endorsement. Speaking during an interview with GLT's Ryan Denham, Biss talks about his campaign for governor, starting with the fight over school funding.
Well, what I think will happen is that we'll figure out some kind of deal. Right now, Bruce Rauner has decided he's going to veto Senate Bill 1, even though he himself said he likes 90% of it. I mean, the guy just doesn't understand how democracy works. I believe him. I take him at his word. I think he'll veto it. I think the Senate is likely to have the votes to override. The House is less likely. And if we're unsuccessful in overriding the veto in both houses, then we'll have to go back and figure another way forward. And we will. I don't think anyone's prepared to see schools not open in the fall, and so I would assume that cooler heads will prevail. But listen, what we really need is a comprehensive fix to our broken school funding system, the most unfair school funding system of any state in the union. Senate Bill 1 is a small step in the right direction, and it's important, and I support it, but we need a more comprehensive fix, a fix that says, listen, we have property taxes that are too high, that overburden middle-class families. Our income tax is unfair. We ask too much of the middle class and not enough of the very rich. We need to transform those systems and build a modern school funding formula that works for districts across the state of Illinois.
So you tweeted out a picture this week marking up some of the comments that Governor Rauner made on NSB 1. Basically, you look like you marked it up with red pen like a teacher or professor might do. Yourself, you're a former math professor, I believe. You asked Governor Rauner to show his work as he's talking about some of the math behind the conclusions he was drawing. What kind of feedback did you get on that? Why'd you do that?
Well, I did that because Governor Rauner is embarrassing himself. I mean, Governor Rauner can't explain what he doesn't like about Senate Bill 1. He even says that he likes 90% of it. But for political reasons, because he wants to drive a wedge in the middle of Illinois, because he's scared of what happens if people across the state of Illinois who are suffering under his leadership unite together to fight for a better government, because of that, he's decided to call this bill a Chicago bailout. And it's just dishonest. And it's dishonest and it's destructive to the state to see our governor pitting one region against the other. And I wanted to point that out in a way that was kind of lighthearted. And it's true, I used to be a math professor. I spent a lot of time with red pens marking up papers, and the skill came back to me pretty fast.
As you said, you taught math at the University of Chicago. You attended MIT and Harvard. So you've seen higher education at its best. So why do you think Illinois has pulled back so much in terms of its investment in higher education in the last several years? And what do you want to do to improve support for state universities and more importantly, the students at those universities?
Yeah, let's be clear. Illinois still has higher education at its best. Illinois State University is a great institution, so is the U of I, so are other public institutions in Illinois. So we are capable of producing higher education at its best, but that is supposed to be produced by a real partnership between the institutions themselves and the state. And the state has just walked back on that bargain and has walked away from higher education, walked away from universities, walked away from community colleges, and walked away from tuition assistance to help young people afford school. And it's, let me be honest, Ryan, it's insane. It's insane. It is just utterly destroying our long-term economic viability. And so we need to do the exact opposite. We need to invest more in higher education. We need to make sure we bring tuition down so that everybody can afford higher education, not just people who happen to come from affluent families. We need to fund MAP grants properly. We need to do these things to ensure that our public higher education system is actually public, is actually accessible to the entire public and thrives and continues to be part of the best of the higher education system. We just haven't done that, and it's shameful. And by the way, while places like ISU and the U of I continue to be stellar examples of just what a university can be, the harm that this budget nightmare has done to some other public institutions is devastating. They've been harmed. They've been diminished. They've lost faculty. They've lost enrollment. Because they've lost enrollment, they lost tuition funding as well as state funding, and they're risking going into a downward spiral. That's just unacceptable.
You support a constitutional amendment to create a progressive income tax in Illinois. I guess what would that mean? Can you help our listeners understand what that means exactly?
You bet. Illinois is one of only four states in the union whose constitution says we have to have a flat income tax. So our tax rate right now is 4.95%. You pay 4.95% if you make $20 million. You make it if you pay $20,000. Bruce Rauner, who made $188 million in 2015, he paid that same rate as someone making $18,000. And that doesn't feel right to most of us. It also isn't how most states do their tax code. If you go to a place like Wisconsin, people over $365,000 a year, they pay 7.65%. The people under can pay less. And so what I'm saying is, in an environment where, listen, for decades, almost all the new money in the economy has gone to the very top, we got to go after that money to balance our budget. We shouldn't be saying to middle-class people who have not gotten a raise for decades, you're the person whose taxes we're going to raise. We should be saying to the people who have been getting enormous raises year after year that they're where the money should be gotten from. And if we were to do that, we could have a tax system that was lower on the middle class, lower on the working poor, only asked the very richest residents to pay more, and still brought in more revenue, and all while doing it in a way that's similar to other states around us. It's not radical. It's not unusual. It's very common sense and normal. It's just something that we can't do in Illinois, because when our Constitution got written in 1970, very wealthy people and special interests conspired to stick this in there. It was a mistake then. It's a big mistake now. We have to fix it.
Well, something else that might impact our state budget, not necessarily why you advocate for it, but you've co-sponsored a bill in the past that would fully legalize marijuana in the state of Illinois. Why do you support that?
Three reasons. Number one, if you look around the state and frankly around the country, our marijuana laws are not being applied equally. If you're an affluent white kid from the Chicago suburbs and you're caught with a joint, you're usually given a slap on the wrist, if that. But if you're a poor kid, poor African-American kid, poor Latino kid, white kid in a community of poverty, the treatment you get is totally different. That's wrong. That's wrong. And we can't allow that unfair system that criminalizes poverty and criminalizes people for being black and brown. We can't allow that to continue. And so for that reason of racial and social justice, we need to legalize marijuana. But it's not just that. I would also say that, you know, I think some people who want to legalize marijuana say that they want to legalize it because they think it's totally fine, it's no big deal, it's no problem. I actually disagree. I think there is a public health problem associated with drug use, and the way we've been handling it has not worked. We've got to treat this public health problem as a public health problem and find public health solutions, not criminal solutions. And finally, to your question, listen, the state of Illinois needs money. The state of Illinois government needs money badly. If we could legalize and tax the use of recreational marijuana, that would help our budget, and we could use the help.
I'm here with State Senator Daniel Biss, a Democrat from Evanston who's running for governor. So let's pivot to the election itself. The primary is in March. You have some very wealthy primary opponents. If Democrats want to win and they want to beat Governor Rauner, who himself is very, very wealthy, don't they need a really rich guy to do it? And why are you the right guy for this?
Well, listen, if they need a really rich guy, I'm not the guy. If you're looking for a billionaire, I'm not your guy. If you're looking for a millionaire, I'm not your guy. I live an ordinary middle-class life. And if that's what the Democratic Party thinks we can't handle anymore, if we can't have middle-class candidates who live normal lives in office, then you better vote for somebody else. But I just don't think that's where we are right now. I think the people of Illinois, on both sides of the aisle, see that we have a government that's not been working for the rest of us. And when you put a billionaire in office who has not lived a normal life, I don't think it's all that surprising that he then governs in a way as though he doesn't really care about people who live normal lives. I think the people of Illinois understand that if we want a government that works for the rest of us, we need a campaign that we're all going to own together by investing in small contributions, by pitching in time and volunteering together and organizing in our own communities on behalf of our own neighborhoods. I think that's what this moment demands, and I don't think Democrats will benefit in the long term by saying, oh, you got a billionaire, that's cool, we'll find our own billionaire. Because guess what? Democrats are going to run out of billionaires first. Democrats are going to run out of billionaires first. If we want to be successful in the long term, we need to use people power, not billionaire power.
So before you run against Governor Rauner, you have a primary to win. So how do you balance that message to make sure you're not putting the cart before the horse and running against Governor Rauner too soon before you actually, you know, win the primary in March? How do you balance your tone, your messaging, all that?
Well, listen, Governor Rauner has failed, and I talk about that every day because it's important and people are hurting across Illinois because of it. But I also think the Democratic Party has an important choice to make, and we have to choose. Are we just going to be against Governor Rauner, or are we going to be for an aspirational vision for what we can do to lift people up across the state of Illinois with progressive policies? Are we going to be a billionaire party, or are we going to be a middle-class party? Are we going to be a corporations party, or are we going to be a people's party? Are we going to have an election, or are we going to have an auction? And I think that choice is fundamental for the state of Illinois and for the Democratic Party. And I think if we get that right, it will also best position us to take on Bruce Rauner and win in November.
So if you were to do that, if you were to take on Governor Rauner and you were to win next November, how do you go about rebuilding Illinois' reputation nationally? I get a national paper delivered at home, and I mean, I've seen us on the front page of that paper about our budget crisis and how bad we look, frankly. How do you even begin to do that?
Wouldn't it be nice if Illinois made the front page of national papers for a good reason? Wouldn't that be a change? You know, listen, I don't want to pretend it's going to be quick. There's a big hole to dig out of, and there's a lot of affirmative work to be done after we dig out of that hole to achieve what the state government can achieve. But I think there's some basic steps. For one thing, I think it's important to run on a clear platform. Here are the things I want to do to improve people's lives across Illinois. And then after you win, you got to do it. Because what people in Illinois have come to assume is that we can't trust the politicians and nothing they say matters. And that leads to a downward spiral of cynicism. If you not only run on a clear agenda, but then work to enact it and improve people's lives with it, that helps build trust. I also think it's very important to run a campaign that includes people. Part of that's about funding the campaign with small donations from people across the state, but also part of that's about who you reach out to for help and how you organize. Earlier today, as Mayor Renner endorsed my campaign, I was standing with dozens of people from Bloomington Normal. These are not people who are elected officials or, you know, machine politicians. They're not the super rich. They're just people in the community who I've gotten to know during the course of this campaign, who I've formed a connection and a bond with, and now they are working in this community on behalf of our campaign. We've handed the keys over to these folks because we know that we'll be successful in the election by empowering people in their communities, and then we'll be successful in raising the reputation of Illinois if we govern based upon understanding what communities need and want and then going and doing it, as opposed to listening to a couple donors or a few special interests or a machine politician or two.
Senator Biss, we asked our Facebook fans here at GLT about some questions they'd have for you if they could be sitting in the studio with us today. And we have a couple good ones here I want to share with you.
Great.
So this one is from James Pancrazio. How would a Biss administration deal with the economic, political, and cultural divide between rural, downstate Illinois, and Chicago?
Yeah, thank you, James. I get that question every single day because we have fallen into this ugly trap of dividing Illinois, of pitting people in McLean County against people in Cook County. And you know what? I don't live in McLean County, but my life is better if McLean County schools are properly funded. That's important to me. And frankly, I think life in McLean County will be better if schools in Chicago are funded too. We are all in this together, and people, get this, people are hurting across the state of Illinois, across the state of Illinois. Yes, here in Bloomington, in Normal, yes, in Chicago, yes, in the southern tip of Illinois, yes, in the far western tip of Illinois. People are hurting, and they're hurting because our policies have been written by a few very rich people for a few very rich people. So my goal is to travel across the state and not point fingers and not do demagoguing, but instead say everywhere we all need to rise up together. And I know that's a hard message to sell when the other side is just going downstate and blaming Chicago and going to Chicago and blaming the suburbs and going to suburbs and blaming downstate. But I think it's doable. I think people are hungry to be united. I think people are hungry to have a vision of a state that works for the rest of us. And that's the vision that I'm trying to advance.
So one last question from our Facebook fans. This one comes from Stephanie Stone. How do you feel about term limits, both for leadership and traditional lawmakers in Springfield?
Well, one of the first things I did when I was elected is I put in a constitutional amendment to create term limits for leaders, to say that you can't be Speaker of the House or Senate President or Minority Leader of the House or Senate for more than 10 years. And the reason I did that is you got someone like Mike Madigan. He's been serving as Speaker since 1983. He's gotten more and more power. Every year he cuts more deals and more people owe him favors and he winds up more powerful. And yet all this time he's only accountable to the voters of his district. That's less than 1% of the state. That's not right. That's not right. So I strongly support that form of term limits. I also support term limits for the governor, by the way. I think an executive can become too powerful if they serve for too long. I support those term limits.
That's Daniel Biss, a state senator from Evanston who's running for governor as a Democrat. The primary will be next March. Thanks for coming in, Senator Biss.
Hey, thanks so much for having me.
That's GLT's Ryan Denham. You can watch a video of Bloomington Mayor Terry Renner endorsing Senator Biss during his visit yesterday at our website, WGLT.org. It's Sound Ideas.